Good morning, good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil, the podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. Hope you guys had a wonderful weekend, and I'm so glad that you're back with me today. Listen, if you don't hear anything else that I say to you throughout our time together on this podcast, understand how important it is to listen to your bodies, especially in this world that we live in, where it can be 70 degrees on Monday and below freezing on Tuesday and 65 and raining on Wednesday and snowing on Thursday. It's important to listen to your bodies. We have the privilege of being, of our essence being housed in such a wonderful organism that does a really good job of being intuitive and forewarning and warning us when things are not right. And we don't always do ourselves the service, or we do ourselves a disservice by really not paying attention to what our bodies are telling us, when it's telling us, and not responding adequately so that we can, you know, ward off some of the things that are bound to happen in this season in terms of, you know, bad weather. Now, some things you can't avoid. Like, I could not avoid the flu diagnosis that I received almost 2 weeks ago. But my body did tell me that something wasn't right Wednesday, 2 weeks ago. And I responded. I went to the drugstore. I bought soup. I bought the African-American cure-all for all ailments and diseases, also known as ginger ale. I purchased some Alka-Seltzer. I purchased some Theraflu. And I induced a very tropical climate in my apartment, and I sweated out. Got in my onesie and sweated out. Woke up at about 1 o'clock in the morning, completely drenched. Changed out of those clothes into some more clothes and commenced the sweating process. And I felt significantly better on Thursday. Not 100%, but definitely the symptoms of the backaches and different things like that were completely gone. Friday was a different story. The symptoms came back. They came back stronger. They came back earlier, accompanied with a headache, accompanied with some stomach issues, accompanied with a low-grade fever. I found myself at the Minute Clinic, where I received a positive flu diagnosis, and you know, the rest is history. But I think things would have been worse had I not really responded to the symptoms that I felt on Wednesday. Like the nurse practitioner told me, you know, what you did is a cure. There ain't no cure for the flu. What you did was a cure. And I'm sure that it helped, and it's something that you can do in conjunction with taking Tamiflu and just remaining isolated and away from people. So, you know, everybody isn't ethical, and obviously we're going to encounter some people, especially when we're talking about the flu. We're going to encounter some people who take it upon themselves to still be in close proximity with healthy folks, knowing that they're not well and not responding to their bodies appropriately, or trying to be, you know, to be resilient and fight through it. Don't do that. Luckily, I have the flexibility in my current role where I have the ability to work from home. I think the weekend was the worst for me in terms of how I felt, in terms of my energy being really depleted and having a fever. But midweek, I was feeling strong enough to, you know, move from my bed to my couch and actually do some work. And so that was a great privilege that I didn't have to lose time. But you know, if you're not in that situation, you have to lose time. It is much better to just stay quarantined and get well so that you don't expose other people to your sickness and illness. But also so that you can take care of yourself, because it really is, it's an energy zapper. You find yourself just not having the energy to move throughout your day. And so that's my soapbox about taking care of our bodies, because a healthy body is extremely important. I lost a week in the gym. Luckily, my voice didn't suffer, praise Jesus. But I lost a week in the gym, which I returned to yesterday, and it was unceremonious in terms of how I felt. You know, it just wasn't a good workout, you know. not in totality. There were isolated things about the workout that went well, but I guess at the end of the day, the fact that you're actually in there makes the most difference. So I was in there, but I'm feeling much better today, and I'm grateful that I took the time to sit out and really get myself well, because the weather is so sporadic. It's raining a lot in Atlanta. It's just a lot going on. So enough about that. Let's get into this week's episode. So that's why I wasn't with you guys last week. I'm sorry. I know I'm working on being more consistent and being here more regularly and trying to figure out ways to make that happen. I think people have gotten really accustomed to me, you know, doing this from my vehicle, but I'm certain that there are going to be some episodes where I'm going to be a little stationary, and you're not going to hear the rumbles of the car rolling on the road. But the podcast won't lose its flavor just because I am, you know, sedentary. So don't worry. I'm working on some things. As you guys know, I started co-hosting with a friend of mine on a new podcast called The Sweet Soul Spot, which talks mostly about R&B and soul music. We are now available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts in addition to Anchor. So it's called The Sweet Soul Spot. The Sweet Soul Spot. Just how it sounds. There's no funky spellings or anything like that. Go check us out. Give us some feedback. The first episode is up, which was kind of an introduction where we kind of spoofed. And I won't say spoofed because that makes it seem like it's a joke. But we kind of took the, you know, when did you fall in love with music theme idea from Brown Sugar and kind of incorporated that into the episode. And we all individually as host and co-host talked about how, you know, how we came to fall in love with R&B and soul music. Our first experiences, the first albums we purchased, what we think about music currently, where we want to see music going. I think it's a really good conversation, and I am very privileged and humbled to be in the company of some real music heads. I'm learning a lot. Things I didn't really know, because I'm the youngest person on the podcast by a number of years. But I am privileged and humbled not only just to be in their company, but that they thought enough of me to invite me along. So go check it out. Give us some feedback. We'd love to hear it. There's a lot of exciting ideas that Charles, who is the mastermind behind it all, a lot of ideas that he has that he wants to bring to fruition. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about doing this, you know. I'm such an entertainment buff. I'm such a music buff. I love things like this. I guess I probably should have gone into like broadcast journalism or something like that, but I did not. So this is my bootleg version. So just check us out. Give us feedback. Anyway, about today's episode. So I interestingly enough, my uncle called me, my dad's brother, this past weekend, and we talked a little bit because he said he had checked out my podcast. And, you know, my first thought was like, oh Lord, which episode did he listen to? I talk about a lot of shit on here. And you know, you're always more open with the world and your friends than you are with your family. And most of us are, you know what I'm saying? Because our friends are our chosen family, and our relationships are just different. I think that there is parts of us that don't feel we can be as open and as transparent with our family as we can be with our friends, because there's fear of judgment and different shit like that. But anyway, he listened to the podcast. He happened to listen to one on mental health, and he was like, I'm really digging it. I think it's dope. And that made me feel really good. My dad is also actually expressed some interest in listening to the podcast. And it's funny because he was like, well, let me know what episodes are dad friendly. And I'm like, none of them, because there's a shit damn motherfucking about all of them. But you know, I think there is a concern about the language, you know, it is what it is. But the content is rich, and I think that's the one thing that I neglected to kind of, when I was having a conversation with my aunt about my podcast, the one thing I neglected to say, that it's not the content that's troubling. I don't think I'm saying anything that would put a damper on, you know, that would create an issue for me in terms of like my career. But the language, I do use strong language. It is parental advisory type language. Nonetheless, they checked it out, made me feel really good, really excited about that. But he listened to the one on mental health, and he talked about how he thought that that was important. And I thought that that was good coming from a black man of a certain age, because my uncle is closer to 60 years old. And him talking about mental health and its importance, and having to, you know, make sure that he himself and that his family have been grounded mentally and emotionally. And it brought me to this point. And the reason why I think I talk about mental health and wellness and emotional intelligence so often is because as black men particularly, we are not afforded the privilege. And it's even crazy to say it in this way, but not being a monolith, which is a struggle for the black and brown community. Not being a monolith is a privilege. And we see that our white counterparts have the ability to not be a monolith. They have the ability to express every emotion. They can run the gambit. They can be excited. They can be angry. They can be emotional. They can cry. They can laugh. They can yell. They can scream. Unchallenged, unquestioned. And we as black men don't have that privilege. We're not afforded that same gift to live life that out loud, that open, that unfeathered, fettered. I think that's the word. We don't have that opportunity. And you learn very early on as a little black boy that you don't have that opportunity, because being emotional and displaying anything other than strength and resilience is weak and pathetic. It's girl-like, you're a sissy, you're fat. You know, those are the words that you hear. Even if it's not a situation where you really display anything that would give some type of idea that you might be gay, doesn't matter. I think a lot of boys have been called sissies, or don't act like a sissy, or don't be acting like a sissy, a punk, or a fag. I think a lot of boys have heard that throughout their lives, because anything, or soft, because anything that isn't hard, anything that isn't this pillar of strength and resilience is weakness. You know, there, it's extremes for us. You know, we don't get a chance to have the pendulum swing of how we feel about things. It's either you're weak or you're strong. Either you're hard or you're soft. You know, either you're a man's man, a real man, or you're a girl. You know, it's extremely, you know, either you're feminine or masculine. There's no in-betweens, and we don't have that right. And so I talk about those things so frequently because I know that a lot of us have not gotten an opportunity to just be. You know, as black boys, we don't get an opportunity to just be. And it affects us in a lot of different ways. And I think I'm experiencing it now because I'm really dealing with grief. And it's the grief associated with the loss of a relationship, with the loss of no longer being with someone that you love, that you want to be with, but you know that you can't be with them because you're just in a place that doesn't lend itself to being together. You know, you're both in different spaces that don't lend itself to y'all being together. It's interesting because it made me think about a past situationship. So more than a year ago, it's definitely more than a year ago, but it's almost 2 years. I did a podcast on what I learned from heartbreak. And the subject of that podcast was a person that I was in a situationship with. Not a relationship, a situationship. But it lingered for a number of years. And it was someone who I loved, but it was someone that I thought that I was in love with. And the podcast, which is in two parts, kind of talks about the aftermath of that relationship, that situationship, and what I learned from it, and how it informed me to move forward in the process of dating and getting to know someone, and how to adequately protect myself in that space. Many of us lose ourselves in the pursuit of being with someone else. We give up things about ourselves that we like. We sacrifice things that we shouldn't. And we don't always hold people to the same standard that we hold other people to. We lessen the standard for whatever reason, because there is this part of us that wants this thing to work, and we feel that that's the only way that it's going to happen. The only way it's going to commence is if we make these adjustments and these concessions. And I did that. And I vowed that I wouldn't find myself in that space again, so that when I actually was in a relationship, something that was requited, something that was mutual, that I could receive it and live in the moment and be present and not have some of those same issues. And so I attempted to do that in my first relationship. Some of those things went over well, and some of them not so much. You live and you learn. But what I can honestly say is my process of grieving that situation is very different than this process. And I thought that because I was able to move past that past situation so easily, that this would be similar. And it would be similar because there was an acknowledgement that we both loved each other. There was an acknowledgement that we both cared for one another and we wanted what was best for one another. And that relationship in its form was not what was best for us. And so in that, we had to move on. We had to separate from one another. And knowing all of those things, because that's all very theoretical, all very logical. A very well thought out, well presented idea as to why a relationship can't work. But if I haven't learned anything about relationships and emotions, there's nothing logical and theoretical about that. And so I made the assumption that knowing all of those things and feeling that way would make it easier for me to move past not being together anymore. And because I had been in a situation where choosing myself was the appropriate choice, I felt like, well, this will be like before. Yes, that last situation wasn't an actual relationship. We were never together, but it felt that way. This process of grieving the loss of this relationship has proven to me that I didn't love that person before. I wasn't in love with that person. I did love that person, because obviously when you're around somebody and you're with somebody, you develop a relationship, there is love. But I wasn't in love with that person. And I know that I wasn't in love with that person because though I did not wish any ill will towards Jay, that's the name we'll use, although I didn't have any ill will towards Jay. I didn't wish bad things for that particular, for him. I had no interest in knowing that he was doing well. I had no interest in seeing that he was doing well. I didn't care if he found love or found himself in another relationship. I wasn't concerned about his health or his well-being. Again, not, I didn't wish anything badly on him or for him. I just didn't have an interest in knowing if it went well or not. And I know that that may seem harsh and it may seem cruel, but it's real. I was nervous about seeing them again, but when I did, it really wasn't anything. And I think the difference is with that situation, with Jay in particular, what I wanted and what I thought our relationship was or had the ability to grow to, I was very honest about it. Maybe not at the very beginning, but there's no doubt about, there was no doubt in his head, and there was no doubt in the heads of friends and acquaintances who had seen us interact, both his friends and acquaintances and my friends and acquaintances. There was no doubt that there was, you know, that there was that I liked him, that I was doing things for him as a result of the way that I felt about him and for him. And I did all of those things from a very open place, from a very loving place. And he exploited that because he knew how I felt, but he knew he didn't feel the same way. But he did kind of keep me on a string. And so that person, it wasn't, his intentions were not pure. And so in that space, when it was over, I knew that I was dealing with someone who was more concerned about themselves than me. And the relationship was based on self-interest and not on my interest. That there was never truly a concern about my interest or my happiness or my well-being if it in any way conflicted with what it is he needed or wanted. And that ain't love. But in the moment and in the space and having never experienced anything like that, it felt that way to me. But it truly was infatuation. It was in love with the idea. He personified what I thought in my mind, especially when we initially met. He personified what I thought in my mind was the ideal relationship. And that's what I was in search of. I was in search of an ideal relationship with an ideal person. And I could only be in an ideal relationship with a person who was this percentage of attractive, this percentage of educated, this percentage of aware of what's going on in the world and around them, this percentage of spiritual or religious, this percentage of family oriented. I could only be in, those are the things that I was going after. So it was more of an infatuation, and being in love with the ideal of a relationship. And this is the type of person, these are the characteristics of a person I would want to be in a relationship with. And being in this process, grieving the loss of this relationship with someone whom I did love and was in love with, and losing that has been much harder because I do care about him doing well. I do care about his individual success. I do care that he achieves his goals and his dreams, because I was invested in those things. And it's tough. It's tough that that's come to an end. Because I do miss him. And I do miss elements of our relationship. The companionship of the relationship. The knowing that someone's going to ask you every day, How'd you sleep? Someone's going to ask you, you know, what did you eat for breakfast? Someone's going to ask you, what are you having for lunch? Someone's going to ask you how your day was, and seemingly have an interest in really knowing the actual answer. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday, and she said, you know, don't really ask me how I'm doing or how I'm feeling, because you're really going to get an answer. You know, most people don't honestly and earnestly tell you what's going on with them when you ask. Some people do. And so I miss that. I miss the companionship that we had. I miss the laughs, because there were laughs. I miss the joking and the chiding of one another. I miss those things. And that is what I'm grieving. And it's okay, and it's natural, and it makes sense. And I don't think I gave the process that much credence. Did I know that it was going to be difficult? Yes, absolutely. But I'm grateful to this experience, because it's really helped me to reassess what I thought an assumed heartbreak was. And that last shit that I was in was not that. So I'm grateful for that clarity. But I really wanted to have this conversation, because I think that sometimes we think when things are over, they're just over. And because we are supposed to be this embodiment as Black men of strength and strong will and manly masculinity, we don't always allow ourselves the space and opportunity to mourn and to grieve outwardly. We lie to ourselves about how things make us feel. We begin to believe those lies, and we lie to other people about how we feel. And it's unhealthy, and there's no way to live, and there's really no way to move forward and move on. And I see this a lot in the physical death of people, and how we respond and how we grieve to the physical death of people, because it's very similar. We don't actually deal with that loss. And we find ourselves hung up in spaces. And I just don't want to be a person who's hung up, who's not allowed to move on, who's not allowed to process the loss of people and relationships, which are also a loss. You're losing something, something significant, something that you are normal, that's become normal to you. You know, it's a loss of normalcy. When you talk to someone every day, when you see someone multiple times a week, when you sleep next to someone multiple times a week, when your free moments are spent with a person, and then you lose that. And it's instant. You know, you don't, you know, it is a death. A relationship, the loss of a relationship is a death of some sorts. So it's instantly gone. So you go from a year, over a year of this regular interaction to nothing, because you have to have that process where there's nothing in order to begin to move forward. You know, that's healthy for both parties involved. It's okay to grieve that. And it's okay to be honest with yourself and with other people about how that shit feels, because it hurts and it sucks. Even when you know that the end of that relationship is for the best. And again, that happens in physical death. We know, especially when we have loved ones that are suffering, that their passing is what's best for them. It ain't what's best for us, but it's what's best for them. But we're selfish. And we don't want that. You know, we don't want to deal with that. We don't want to face that. We don't want to say that. But the reality is, if a person is riddled with pain and suffering as a result of cancer, sometimes their passing is what's best for them. Because we don't want them to leave us, but we also don't want them to be in pain. But the reality is, them leaving us is more of a concern for us than them being in pain. And so I am just trying to, in any and every way, express to my Black brothers and my Black sisters, but particularly my Black brothers, that grief and not allowing ourselves to buy into this idea that we're a monolith and we should only experience things one way. We should only be one way. We should only deal and process one way. That there isn't two sides to the coin. That everything doesn't have to be this extreme, either you are hard or soft, but there's something in the middle. I think it's important for me to convey that and for people to understand and for me to be transparent about how I feel about certain situations, to show, to be an example that it is okay. Have I cried over the loss of this relationship? Absolutely. But I've also experienced a lot of different emotions. I have been relieved. I have been upset. I have been pissed. I have been sad. I've been happy. I've been irritated. I've had a full pendulum swing of emotions as it relates to the end of this relationship. But at the end of the day, I know that I love him still, not in love, fallen out of love, I guess I should say. But I know that I love him because I want him to be well, to do well, to prosper, to be successful, to achieve his dreams. And it's important to me that we maintain some civility between the two of us, because I believe that when you love somebody, at the very least, you should be civil. And that there is this amicable nature in our relationship, so that at some point we can be friends that have a regular relationship where communication is part of it. We're not there yet, but I would like to achieve that, and I believe that it's possible. But you can't get to the other side if you don't go through the process of grieving the loss, processing the loss, accepting where you made mistakes, taking responsibility for your role in things not going well, but also not taking ownership over things that are not you, which is another important lesson that I've learned in this process. Yes, some things are on me, and some things will be on you, but you don't have to take responsibility or ownership over things that aren't yours. And that's also a part of the grieving process, understanding that we all play roles, and that the relationship or our relationship ending is not solely one person's fault, but you don't have to take ownership over things that aren't your baggage. It's a lot, but I'm learning and I'm growing, and I know that I'm going to be a better person for it. And I know that I'm going about it the right way. And when I'm ready, which ain't today, I will be a more suitable partner for whoever comes along. And I believe that this relationship will be the same for him, that the lessons learned will make him a more suitable partner for the person that he's supposed to be with ultimately. And that's how you know you love someone, when you care about that shit. Because when you don't love somebody, and when it was a relationship built and the foundation of their relationship was never really love, but infatuation and desire and lust, you'll find that you don't really have a dog in the fight in terms of their progression. And that's okay too. And I'm here to let you know that that's okay. Reevaluate those relationships and those situations that you've been in to determine if it really was love or if it really was something else. And I think that'll be an interesting exercise, and I'll be interested to hear what some of you have to say about it. So yeah, let me know. Anyway, I'm gonna stop rambling. I'm gonna let you go. It's okay and healthy to grieve. It's okay and healthy to cry. It's okay and healthy to be upset and experience every emotion. Run the gambit of emotions. Don't allow this world and its privileged patriarchal thinking to determine or to tell you that there's only one way to be. We are not monolithic. We are dynamic in the way that we are built, in the way that we think, in the way that we're structured. And it's okay. It's okay. Continue to tap into your emotions. Continue to talk through your emotions. And don't be in the company of anybody who tries to make you feel a certain way about feeling how you feel, because we all have that right. Happy Tuesday, y'all. Get out there and make it happen. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful week. And be back here next week for another exciting episode where I'll be talking about some other shit. And I don't know what that is yet. Continue to like. Continue to follow. Continue to subscribe. Continue to share. Get the word out there. I really think we got something here, y'all. I really do. And the fact that you come back week after week really does give me, it emboldens me to press on, even when it's tough, even when I'm tired, even when I don't have shit to talk about, which happens more frequently than you might think. But I love y'all for real. Have a great day. Peace.